I'd like to call the regular meeting of council for October 26, 2017 to order at 7 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vicki, please call the roll.
Councilman Christopher Hallam.
Present.
Councilwoman Janet Armica.
Present.
Councilwoman Maura Pismo.
Present.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
Councilman Christopher L. Biro. President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
Madam President, move that we excuse Councilman Biro this evening's meeting.
Second.
Any discussion on the motion? I have not received notification, nor has the clerk's office, for his absence.
I just assumed you had.
I have not.
Okay. Maybe he's on call. I don't know.
And well, any councilman that cannot come to a meeting has a responsibility to either notify the president of council or the clerk's office, and I have not received any. There's a motion on the table, and I take a vote.
Hallam?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Biro? Oh, sorry. Fellows?
No.
Fiebig?
No.
Motion passes. Councilman Biro has been excused from this evening's meeting. First order of business is correspondence. Correspondence is listed in the clerk's office. The next is the disposition of two journals. The first one is minutes of the regular council meeting of September 28th and the minutes of the regular council meeting of October 12th.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to adopt the minutes of the regular council meeting of September 28th.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and second from Councilman Fiebig to adopt the regular council meeting minutes of September 28th. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Vicki?
Hallam?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
The minutes of the regular council meeting of September 28th have been adopted.
Madam President?
Vice President Pleshnik?
Motion to adopt the minutes of the regular council meeting of October 12th.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilman Fiebig to adopt the regular minutes of the minutes of the regular council meeting of October 12th. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki?
Hallam?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
The minutes of the regular council meeting of October 12th have been adopted. The next order of business would be the law director's report. Acting law director, Steve Byron.
I have no report.
Are there any questions for the acting law director this evening?
Madam President?
Councilman
just to
Fiebig.
Follow up, if there's any been any information or any developments regarding any litigation against the city or
the legislation, ordinance number 2017-75 has been drafted to address threats that have been received from the mayor's legal counsel, and that's probably the appropriate time to discuss what the city's position would be on that matter.
Okay, that's fine. And it's one of the reasons that we can go into executive session to discuss matters and strategies. So if you do wish to have us do that, please ask, and we'll certainly make that motion to go into an executive session to discuss it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Steve. The next one is City Engineer's Report. Mr. DeFranco.
Thank you, Madam President. The Pleasant Valley Bridge was closed indefinitely last week, following a routine inspection by a consultant hired by ODOT. Our street superintendent, Mark Rubis, has contacted a bridge contractor and will be meeting with him on Tuesday to assess the situation and provide recommendations for repair. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Pete. Any questions for the engineer this evening?
Madam President, I would just ask, is there any anticipation on when we might be able to reopen the bridge? Because I can tell you when it snows, it can be very difficult to exit Pleasant Valley Road from the more easterly end to the road, and a lot of residents rely on the bridge to safely exit. So do we have any sense of even a rough timeline?
Unfortunately, no. We need to meet with the contractor, and a lot will be contingent upon his schedule.
Thank you.
Mr. DeFranco, on September 14th at the meeting, you had mentioned that we didn't get any bids for the bridge because we didn't have enough appropriated. Do you think that we needed to have more appropriated to get a bid? Do you think that was the issue?
That was one of the issues. We based our estimate on a small local contractor getting the project, and the feedback we received from larger contracts was that in order for them to mobilize from a further distance, the estimate was too low. The local contractors that we were hoped would bid on the project just weren't interested, so I think we need to reevaluate if the city is willing to spend a greater amount to get larger contracts involved, or if we want to take another route, such as working with the county to hire a smaller contract.
Have we had the same repair done in the past? Something similar?
Not that I'm aware of, at least not since I've been involved at the city.
Okay. So why did we choose that contractor for the amount to appropriate?
They were recommended by the county because the county uses them for their bridges, and they also are a certified contractor through the paint supplier who offers the warranty.
Okay. And then the last question
that project was for painting,
right?
Correct.
It wasn't for repair.
And now this is repair.
So this is a separate issue.
Correct. Yes. However, okay. Our intent was to have the repair contractor piggyback onto the paint contractor because the paint contractor would have his scaffolding installed, so we wouldn't have to pay for two contractors to mobilize scaffolding. So we were going to hire the painting contractor, and while he had his scaffolding up, the repair contractor would be able to come in and make the repair.
So the $110,000, $120,000 was for painting, but not that the repair is in addition to?
Correct.
And do we know how much about that will cost?
Without the scaffolding, he gave us an estimate around $10,000.
Oh, okay. And do we have a contractor to do that?
It's this contractor that we're meeting with on Tuesday.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
But now the price he's going to give us now will include the scaffolding, so it'll be more.
Okay.
Madam President, and by more, I think your estimate to me was like 18,000 approximately, give or take.
Yeah, I said under 20.
Under 20, right, because we're paying for the scaffolding to be there, but we weren't able to attract a bidder because of the small scale of that project. And I think maybe after, you know, has it been 15, 20 years that we've owned that bridge, maybe we should revisit. Is it prudent for the city to be the owner of a bridge when it's the only bridge that we have and it's you know, not something that we're experts in, let's say, as a community? So it might be prudent to look at that in utilities and see if that's still the right way to go in the future. Not this week.
And then, Mr. DeFranco, in terms of painting, that may become problematic in terms of the temperature now.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. The next is committee reports. Councilwoman Pismo, would you like to share information on your recreation committee?
Sure. Okay. I call the October 27th, 2017 Recreation Committee of Council meeting to order at 8:01 p.m. to discuss security at the Maple Grove Grange, specifically any issues related to implementation of Ordinance 2017-63, which was passed as a temporary security measure, and to begin the discussion on what to do with the Grange going forward. I recapped a conversation I had with Police Chief Collins, who said that after a rocky start where the mayor initially gave the police department the wrong keys, he said dispatch now has the right keys and is having no trouble at all managing them. The only issue he was mildly concerned about was that the mayor's office ordered the police department to send an officer to inspect the building daily, which isn't ideal for a department which is currently strained. Councilman Fiebig stated that scout leaders that he has talked to are happy the keys are in dispatch and not in the hands of random people. He said he also heard from a scout leader who said he was told to keep the thermostat extremely low and that he had to come 2 hours early for meetings to turn the thermostat up to heat the building before meetings. Both the issue with the police maintaining the building and this issue with the thermostat could easily be addressed by the administration with this feedback. On the issue of the scouts, who are the only ones currently permitted to use the building at this time, I suggested we consider whether the ordinance is working for them or if we should consider any modifications to facilitate their use. I said that the implementation of the ordinance had a rough start because a week after the ordinance became law, the police discovered that the mayor had given the police department keys that did not work, which was only discovered after the police interrupted a scout meeting because there was a report people were meeting at the Grange and no keys had been checked out. The scout leaders had, to that point, not been advised of the new ordinance. I indicated that I had heard from a Girl Scout leader that she moved her troop to a new building location, and she said she believed all Girl Scout troops had done the same. Councilwoman Micah inquired whether the scout leader left because of the ordinance and whether their move was temporary or permanent. I related the email exchange I had between the scout leader, who first contacted council because she was upset that Gloria Majeski called her late in the evening and demanded she turn the key she had been given by Tom Majeski to the Willoughby Hills Police Dispatch immediately. She was very upset by this treatment and had no problem with checking the keys out from dispatch. I followed up with her before this committee meeting, and she indicated that this treatment was what caused her and others to move their troops. Councilman Fiebig explained the history behind council's involvement in the management of the Grange. He explained the Section 941 of our Administrative Code grants council the power to set policies for public property through ordinance. The purpose of this provision is to make policies clear to the public and to ensure fairness to our residents and access to our properties. Councilman Fiebig detailed how he worked on public property ordinances when he was chair of the Recreation Committee in 2008 and planned to do the same with the Grange, but the mayor told him to leave the Grange out because he wasn't sure what he wanted to do with it at that time. Until the cell tower issue arose in early 2017, there was no indication the Grange was being used for anything other than Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. But then it was discovered that some people were using the Grange and had keys while residents were being denied access. He said, "We need to decide what to do with it," and asked me about insurance coverage. I responded that the latest policy I've seen classifies the Grange as a, quote, visitor's museum, which is not accurate. To know whether this was problematic, we will need to contact the city's insurance provider. I also said we should inspect the deed to the property to make sure there are no restrictions. I asked the acting law director if he had any other legal issues we should consider before going forward, and he said there weren't any at this time. I said that I think we need a lot more public input before we could make a decision about the best use of the Grange. Councilwoman Micah asked whether dispatch was okay with the situation, and I responded that Chief Collins said everything was well, and he even drafted a policy and procedure for the Grange for dispatch that he hopes to use as a template for a blanket policy for all the keys to public property managed by dispatch like Campbell Park. Councilman Fiebig asked if police dispatch now has all the keys for the locks. I answered that they now do. There are two sets of three keys with dispatch, and Chief Collins believes the mayor has a third set. I then opened public portion at 8:21 p.m. Resident Frank Sahula asked if we were aware the Boy Scouts have moved their troops to Mentor. Scout leader John Krause responded that they have not. I asked Mr. Krause if he's planning to move his troop to Mentor, and he said he is debating whether to merge with another troop, which would require a move to Mentor, but hasn't decided yet. Resident Jenna Bing wanted to know when the Boy Scouts meet at the Grange because she likes to play a game on her phone, and there is a good spot to play that game in the parking lot, so she doesn't want to disturb the scouts when she does that. She also said she'd really like the Recreation Committee to consider opening the Grange to residents for limited use for smaller gatherings. Finally, she said that it's imperative that we engage the Grangers in whatever our plans are. Resident Linda Fulton asked if the locks need to be changed again because we don't know who has keys. She also asked where the TV and the poker tables went. She suggested the city better communicate the Grange procedures more clearly to the scouts. Resident Sharon Salmon said we should restore the Grange and use it as a community gathering spot for small groups as the Grangers had before. John Krause said the Boy Scouts meet on Wednesday night from 7 to 9. The TV is still on the wall, and there was never a poker table at the Grange. He and his co-leader turned in their keys to dispatch. She said they sometimes go into the Grange during non-meeting times to get items out of a storage closet that has a lock on it. He then asked why council gave him a memo asking for background checks for some of the scout leaders but not others. I asked Mr. Krause when he received that memo, and he replied about a month ago. I explained that the mayor said he did background checks on people who had the keys to the Grange at the Rules and Legislation Committee meeting and council meetings in early September. I advised Mr. Krause that council does not have the authority to send memos demanding background checks to anyone. I asked Mr. Krause how it was for him to pick up the keys from dispatch, and he said it was no problem at all. Resident Tom Marsh said he had reviewed the deed back during the cell tower issue, and it's a simple quitclaim deed. He also said he's glad we're having hearings and discussing with the public about what the best use of the Grange is for the city. He wants to look at all the facts and make a good decision. I closed public portion at 8:37 p.m. Councilman Fiebig said council did not ask for background checks and asked Mr. Krause to send him the memo he received. He also said he doesn't think there should be a charge if we open the building to residents for limited use. I suggested that going forward we consider whether it would be feasible to rehabilitate the building to historic standards or put it on the National Registry of Historic Places and discuss our options with some outside groups or agencies who are experts on rehabilitating historic buildings. Councilwoman Micah agreed with Councilman Fiebig that it would be nice to have limited events there for only Willoughby Hills residents, but thought it should be for a reasonable fee. She said she is sad that the Girl Scouts left and regrets that they felt they need to leave and reiterated they are welcome to come back should they care to. We then adjourned at 8:42 p.m.
Thank you, Councilwoman Pismore. Are there any questions for the Councilwoman on the Recreation Committee meeting?
One comment to add, Madam President, to Councilwoman Pismore's report, which was very thorough. Thank you. That was your first meeting, I think, wasn't it?
My first committee meeting.
That I chaired,
yes.
And you did a good job.
Thank you.
Because it's a complex issue to deal with public property, and we wanted to make it very clear that the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts were always very welcome there, and that this policy that we had to implement was to basically for their protection. I was there, in fact, a week ago Wednesday to help and assist with one of their merit badges is to meet with a local elected official and to talk about their rights and responsibilities under our Constitution. And I did ask a few of them, where are you from? And actually, a majority of them were from Mentor. There was one from Eastlake, and I didn't know where the other young man was from. And that's okay. They don't have to live in Willoughby Hills, but it was just, I thought, important that we mentioned, since some of them were talking about merging with Mentor, it's not that they're being pushed. Some of them actually live in Mentor. So, in fact, the majority of the ones that were there that night did live in Mentor. But we've been a sponsor of that group. There's a city, and we could perhaps look back into the records to see what was the genesis of that and when that all started and all that. But just wanted to reiterate that we never at any time, you know, wanted the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts to leave. We don't want them to, and the building is open to them, and they're welcome there. Thanks.
Anything else for Laura? Thank you. Are there any other reports or information that anybody wants to share on their respective committees? The next order of business would be any other council representative reports this evening. Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to amend the agenda to address legislation at this time.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Micah to amend the agenda to address our legislative issues at this time. Any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, why are we doing that?
Just because of the nature of legislation, I'd like to put that in the slot at this time.
Don't we normally let the public speak on the agenda in case they have questions with regard before we address legislation?
We do, but many years ago we used to have public portion after legislation because people had questions about that. And then it got changed because council didn't want to address questions about legislation, so they bumped public portion above it, as I recall.
Okay.
Any other discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Hallam.
No.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The motion to address legislation at this time has passed. So our first ordinance is ordinance number 2017-67. Vicki, will you read the caption, please?
An ordinance providing for temporary appropriations to meet the ordinary expenses of the City of Willoughby Hills, State of Ohio, for the period beginning January 1, 2018 through March 31, 2018, repealing all legislation inconsistent herewith.
This is on third reading. Mr. Berkachek isn't here this evening. Don't want to make any assumptions, but I would assume that he would recommend that we adopt this. This is actually mandatory. This will be the temporary budget for the first 3 months of 2018. We do it every year. It does have to be into the county by the end of December.
Madam President, mm-hmm. Move to adopt Ordinance 2017-67.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Vice President Pleshnik to adopt Ordinance Number 2017-67. Any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, the only perhaps change would be probably a wash based on the Finance Director's email from a few hours back about how we received a refund from the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Comp in the amount of about $66,000, and the fire department received a grant. He also gave us an update on the open checkbook project and said that it should be up and running, available for all citizens to look at sometime next week. So we're excited about that since we asked them to do it in April of 2016. So we're glad that's finally happening. But our police department is guarding the shooter from that incident at Classic Park. So we're accruing some overtime because of that. And now I don't believe we know how long that will be, but that certainly will be that refund that we got from, from the Bureau of Workers' Comp is going to probably end up being a wash in our overall budget. So this is still prudent to pass at this time. I don't think it's going to be out of whack or anything like that, and we must pass it before the end of the year.
My communication with the finance director some months ago when I was looking to have this ordinance prepared is that he said it would pretty much be what it was for 2017. And Councilman Hallam, you had a comment?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Vicki, take the vote.
Hallam?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pishmo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Ordinance 2017-67 has been adopted. The next one is Ordinance 2017-71.
An ordinance to amend and or modify the pickup of mandatory contributions by the full-time employees of the fire department in the classification of firefighter and lieutenant who are members of the Ohio Police and Fire Pension Fund, repealing conflicting legislation and declaring an emergency.
Now, this ordinance is on second reading. This is mandated by their contract. The next one is Ordinance 2017-72.
An ordinance confirming the appointment of and fixing the compensation for the position of part-time recreation coordinator and declaring an emergency.
This ordinance is on second reading, and I don't know if anybody has had an opportunity to review the packet for the individual that the mayor wants to confirm. But one thing that I did notice, and Councilman Hallam, if I remember correctly, after the Unity Day, you had made a suggestion that when the mayor was looking for a recreation coordinator that you would hope that he would look for someone that had some social media and marketing experience.
Or at least get training for whoever so that they would be more.
So I just want to say on this individual's cover letter, she says that she is proficient in Microsoft Office tools and experienced in the event management system, which was the scheduling software that the university used that she was currently employed in before she retired. So it's just something to think about. So this is second reading.
Madam President?
Yes.
For further discussion and to review the other applicants, can I suggest that we move that into a personal relations committee or any other appropriate committee for further review and discussion?
Yes, but I will discuss that with the personal relations chairman.
Thank you. I just wanted to put it out there. Thank you.
Yes. The next one is Ordinance 2017-73.
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into a contract for general liability insurance coverage for the City of Willoughby Hills and declaring an emergency.
This is first reading, but I can't find my note. I wanted to share with all of you that after we had received this information from Gloria on October 18th, that I called the insurance company because the information that we received had the renewal date for the last year or the third year of this contract to be October 1st, and now it was October 18th. In the course of the conversation, the individual shared with me that they sent the information to the city for their renewal application for this last year of the contract on August 18th, and that the city did not respond back to them till September 28th. And so by the time they got all their ducks in a row and sent everything back to the city, it was October 17th. And in Gloria's memo, if I can quote it correctly, she said, I'm sending this to you because this is when we just got it back. But there was a very long lag time. One of the questions that I asked the insurance company was, could they send their notice to Willoughby Hills Administration in July instead of August? This council has had a lot of information shared by residents about suspending three reading rules. We have had a week to review this. We have to pass this. The renewal date for this last year was October 17th. It is now October 26th. So we have no opportunity to put it in committee to review it, to ask questions. And I think administration needs to be a little little more proactive on the duties of some of the city's things that we need to have, such as insurance, so that they can do their job and council can do our job efficiently as well. So I just wanted to share that information with all of you since I had called the company. Any other questions? Then I would entertain a motion to waive the three reading rule.
Motion to waive the three-reading rule for Ordinance 2017-73.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Vice President Pleshnik to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance 2017-73. Any discussion on the motion?
Madam President?
Yes.
If I could just say it's obviously imprudent for the city to continue without insurance, so I concur with your conclusion that we have to pass this legislation tonight. While it would have been ideal to have more time to review it, we need to make sure that our city is properly insured.
And I just have a question. When we sign on for this renewal of this policy, will we be able to make any changes to it after that? Because when I was reviewing the insurance policies for the Grange, like I said, the classification of the Grange is something that was a little bit of a concern to me because it's not quite accurate to call it a visitor's museum. It's not quite how it's being used. So I'm concerned that at least as it comes to, with Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts using it as a meeting hall, basically, calling it a visitor's museum, it's not quite being used for that purpose, and I want to make sure that it's covered. All the activities are covered there.
We'd have to take a look at what the policy says. It's not uncommon to change coverages midterm that'll have an impact on rates oftentimes. So unless there's something in the policy that you've taken a look at that takes that away, we would probably be able to get changes in turn.
Okay, great. Thanks.
So the motion is to waive the three-reading rule. Vicki?
Hellum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The three-reading rule on Ordinance 2017-73 has been waived.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to adopt Ordinance Number 2017-73.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt Ordinance Number 2017-73. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President. I do want to say that I had a conversation with Gloria Majeski about this, and perhaps part of the reason the delay is initially the renewal they sent us was like a 17% increase, and so there was some negotiations with her investigating what other cities were seeing as far as an increase and who they were using, and she was able to get them down to, I think, a 7% increase. So she basically, by doing some background checking and talking to some of the other cities, she was able to reduce our increase from 17% down to, I believe, 7%, if I'm not mistaken. So that could be part of the reason why there was a little bit of a delay.
And that may be, but if then we need more time to do that, then we need to back up the process a little better.
Yeah, well, I'm sure she couldn't have known that they were going to increase by 17%.
Well, I think it's important that, you know, that council studies this issue in committee after the first of the year and work collaboratively with administration, since we'll be writing a new contract. And if it's with this company or another one. Vicki?
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Fleshnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Ordinance 2017-73 has been adopted. The next one is Ordinance 2017-74.
An ordinance engaging the legal services of Todd D. Cipollo, Company LPA, to perform prosecution work in the Mayor's Court of the City of Willoughby Hills, repealing conflicting legislation and declaring an emergency.
Our acting law director had an opportunity to review the process of the Mayor's Court last week. And came back with some information and a memo to the mayor that he stated an interest in maintaining the efficient operations of the mayor's court, that Mr. Cipolla be retained to handle the mayor's court duties, and that his compensation be formally approved by council. So that's the purpose for this ordinance.
Madam President, move to waive three readings on Ordinance 2017-74.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance Number 2017-74. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President?
Yes.
My understanding is the reason why this requires immediate action is that Mr. Cipollo has been performing the duties of our representative in Mayor's Court for some time, and given that the mayor's spending authority is limited to $2,000, for him to continue in this service, he needs to have it formally approved by council. But this isn't a change. Todd Cipollo is the attorney who's been handling these issues, and he will continue to do so at the same rate of pay.
The motion is to waive the three-reading rule. Vicki?
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Fleshnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The three-reading rule on Ordinance 2017-74 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilman Fiebig.
Move to adopt Ordinance 2017-74.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to adopt Ordinance Number 2017-74. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none. Vicki?
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Fleshnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Ordinance 2017-74 has been adopted. The next one is Ordinance 2017-75.
An ordinance retaining the acting law director Stephen L. Byron and the law firm of Walter Haversfield, LLP, to represent the City of Willoughby Hills and any public officials of the city in any litigation challenging the validity of Ordinance Number 2017-70 and declaring an emergency.
And I'd ask the acting law director, Mr. Byron, to give us a little background about this.
Sure. After Ordinance Number 2017-70 was enacted, I received a contact from someone who said he was representing Mayor Wager, and that they were going to be suing the city because, in their view, the ordinance was invalid. I have put together a seven-page letter to this attorney explaining why, in my opinion, the charter of the City of Willoughby Hills was complied with through the enactment of 2017-70, which vests City Council with the ability to enact legislation to set the manner of exercise of the municipal authority. And in this circumstance, there's no provision. What do you do if you don't have a law director? How does the city get the services of somebody to do that? In response to my communication, the lawyer for the mayor said there's an AG opinion that says that the council doesn't have this authority, that authority is vested in the mayor. The AG, only the Attorney General of the State of Ohio, only issues opinions on Ohio law. they issued these opinions back in the late 60s, early 70s, that a law director of a statutory city that does not have a charter cannot be appointed by council. The problem is we're not a statutory city in Willoughby Hills. We are a charter city, and we follow the charter. I have been presented with no authority, contrary to what my position is, based on the charter of the city of Willoughby Hills and the ordinances of council, that would support a lawsuit against the city of Willoughby Hills. I have put the lawyer on notice and presumably through him, Mayor Wager, that I think his opinion is wrong. This ordinance walks through the thought process on that. I think it's a waste of time to go to litigation. If he has authority that establishes the ordinance was improperly enacted, I want to see it. I want to see it before he tells it to a judge. That's how lawyers resolve conflict, without going to court. And so my point would be, let's have this in place. If somebody presents authority to me that what you have done is incorrect, I'll advise you as such. And I have provided you with the back and forth, the correspondence from the lawyer. And you'll note that there's no authority for what he's saying. He's making, in my opinion, empty threats against the city that could cost the city money. And so in furtherance of the protection of the city, I would recommend the council adopt this. And because there has been no authority presented that would indicate that the mayor or whoever would file the charge would have a case, that we try to seek frivolous misconduct sanctions against the other attorney and whoever he's representing, because he would be costing the city money with no valid legal claim. So that's the purpose behind this ordinance.
Madam President?
Councilman Fiebig.
Given the nature, then, of this and the threat of a lawsuit, I move to waive the three readings for 2017-75.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Vice President Pleshnik to waive the three-reading rule on Ordinance 2017-75. Is there a discussion on the motion?
Just a question, Madam President. Is this something that if something did where we needed to act that we could then go back and, I mean, I'm just wondering if we're putting the cart before the horse, if we don't actually have anything at this point, wouldn't this be something we could easily adopt at some later date should the need arise?
The concern would be that if some action were taken that requested a temporary restraining order, you would want to be able to have the city's lawyer respond to a request for a temporary restraining order. And that could happen at a moment's notice without the ability to call a special meeting of council. So this is a proper prophylactic action to take.
The question Councilwoman Micah asked me is this an appropriate time to talk about this? This is discussion.
Well,
should we waive
the
three readings?
We do this all the time. So
that's okay.
I mean, we have motions on the table that the motion that's actually on the table is just to suspend the three reading rule.
Right.
It's not on the discussion of the topic of the ordinance.
Correct.
But I usually let that go because those are the questions that are coming in people's heads at the time, and they crisscross over each other. But
you know,
there's validity both ways, and the information comes out, which is important.
But for our new council people, and perhaps anybody in the public, should know that that's the order of business, and according to Robert's Rules of Order, that's why there's an orderly process to our council meetings.
Correct. So the motion on the table is to suspend the three reading rule. Is there any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki.
Hullum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pishmo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The three reading rule on Ordinance 2017-75 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilman Fiebig.
Move to adopt Ordinance 2017-75.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Vice President Pleshnik to adopt Ordinance 2017-75. Is there any additional discussion on the motion?
Madam President?
Yes.
I've already stated my beliefs on what occurred with 2017-70, and I still don't believe it was proper, I am not in support of this.
Thank you. Vicki?
Hullum.
No.
Micah?
Yes.
Pishmo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Ordinance 2017-75 has been adopted. And the last piece of legislation is resolution number 2017-6.
A resolution congratulating Gabriel Gaynard on attaining the prestigious rank of Eagle Scout awarded by the National Boy Scouts of America.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
Move to waive three readings for resolution 2017-6.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Vice President Plushnick to waive the three-reading rule on ordinance on resolution 2017-6. Any discussion on the motion?
Madam President,
yes.
Mr. Gaynor's going to receive this award prior to our, or just about near our next council meeting, so I just wanted to pass it before that, if everybody's okay with that. Thank you.
Vicky. Hullum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Hishmo.
Yes.
Plushnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Beebig.
Yes.
The three reading rule on resolution number 2017-6 has been waived.
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnick.
Motion to adopt resolution number 2017-6.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plushnick and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to adopt resolution number 2017-6. Any discussion on the motion?
Madam President,
yes.
I can attest for this young man, a resident of our city, who's a fine, upstanding individual who certainly has earned this meritorious award of Eagle Scout for the National Boy Scouts of America.
Vicky?
Hullum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Hishmo.
Yes.
Plushnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Beebig.
Yes.
Resolution number 2017-6 has been adopted. The next order of business is public portion. This is an opportunity for individuals to come forth and ask questions or share concerns. You have 3 minutes. We ask that you provide your name and your address for the record. This is not an opportunity to campaign tonight, and this is not an opportunity to discuss political issues. That is not the forum that is appropriate in the council chambers this evening. That is what's being done outside in the community. So I will open public portion at 7:41 p.m.
My name is Ed McKenna. Address is 2963 Lamplight Lane. The zip is 44094. I first thought of making this speech listing the actions I thought council has done incorrectly. And I remembered I have 3 minutes to present, not 3 hours. Then I thought I would list the major actions I thought council did incorrectly. Again, I have 3 minutes, not 3 hours. I believe council violated, so let me list the following. I believe council violated our charter numerous times. I believe there's a question if the sunshine laws have been violated. I believe the three reading rule has been abused. It was a low point for me when the council asked for the law director's removal, and tonight, as you just passed ordinance 75, you're asking for the mayor's removal. And that was kind of vaguely said, and you just modified the legislation and the agenda to allow that to pass through without it being aware. You left that kind of vague. I believe it is also a low point when council appointed an acting law director in the middle of the night, a night when the mayor was unavailable because he was in the hospital. He was in the hospital because two of our police officers were shot that day. Just as council has had its low points in our city, for our city, it was a low point for our city when this anonymous letter was mailed. I hope whoever sent this letter is caught and sued for slander. I hope that suit takes them for everything they have, including their home. They should be run out of town. They do not deserve to be a Willoughby Hills resident. Lastly, since I have the public mic, I'd like to thank Rick Thompson for his military service, and I'd like to thank his son for his military service.
This is out of order. This is exactly what we talked about.
So, Mr. McKenna.
No, I have a sincere thank you to any veteran. He's a veteran.
Madam President, we all appreciate his service in the military, but this is exactly what we were talking about avoiding campaign rhetoric. It belongs out in the street, talking to the public.
Well, Councilman Phoebe, some individuals don't understand what that means.
You're right. I didn't understand that was political talk. I thought that was just facts about what council's doing.
Anyone else for public portion this evening?
I apologize if I'm asking a question that I'm not supposed to ask.
You need your name and address first,
please. My name is Patty Hayes. I live at 31451 Chardon Road, 44094. I, too, receive the mailings, and I'm not talking about that. I just have a question. I've worked in business all my life, and I'm trying to understand why the people are trying to unionize the secretarial position. I'm wondering, is there something that they're not getting? I mean, I'm reading about the benefits. I'm reading about the salary. I do not understand why someone is trying to form a union in this position. And I thought maybe there was some insight as to what the reason are. People don't usually ask for unions if they're satisfied with what they have. And I've read about all the benefits and the salary. So I'm just a little confused. I'm just trying to understand. So,
okay, go ahead.
So I can sit down.
Thank you. Anyone else this evening? We haven't finished public portion. We'll address that after the fact. Mike?
Thank you, Madam President. My name is Michael Tyler. I live at 2770 Worrell Road, right here in Wilbley Hills. There is swimming pools and movie stars, Ohio. First of all, I want to apologize, as I know all of you are very, very busy this time of year. However, I wanted to thank the individual, actually, I've been asking for the last 5 years to help me with Route 6, as we have 72 bumps going that way from 174 to Worrell Road and 68 this way, and they get worse in the wintertime. And I wanted to let you know that one of you actually reached out to me and actually is doing something about it. I haven't been updated, but I wanted to thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike. Anyone else this evening? Mr. Tony.
Hey, Tony Manfredi, 730 Pebblebrook Drive. I didn't come here tonight to criticize anybody. I come here to encourage. What I hear is rhetoric is not beneficial to this city. We're all members of Willoughby Hills. And when one member hurts and one citizen hurts, we should all hurt. And I think what we owe ourselves, and each one of here and in the city, is to go home tonight and search ourselves and ask ourselves, are we really seeking for the betterment and interest of the people of Willoughby Hills, or are we trying to push our own agenda and be selfish in our thinking? So think it through, and let's take a deep breath and settle back and use civility and common sense to understand and to accept each other. Excuse me. And thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Anyone else this evening? I'll close public portion at 7:47 p.m.
Madam President?
Vice President?
If this is the appropriate time to respond, I would like to first start by saying thank you to Tony Manfredi of Pebblebrook for his service in the Armed Forces. We're very grateful for what you've done for our country and for what you do for our city today. I'd also like to say, in response to the question from Ms. Hayes, if I'm pronouncing the name right, Personnel Relations started work on the issues of clerical and secretary compensation back at the start of the term in early 2016, and the mayor had proposed a pretty considerable raise for his secretary and many other individuals, and we decided to do a compensation study simply so we could see what other cities were paying, get a sense of are we below, are we above, are we higher. We did the same compensation study for our part-time police and firefighters and many other positions, simply an environmental scan to make sure that we're paying the appropriate amount, not too much, not too little. And when we found out that in the particular position of the mayor's secretary, she was if you compare to all the cities that surround Willoughby Hills, not only the highest paid by quite a bit, but the highest paid with far less years of service or experience, we decided as a council that it wasn't prudent to give an additional raise to someone who was already so high in the scale. And in fact, the reason why the mayor had come to council is he'd given his secretary so many raises. In fact, there was 4 years in a row where he'd given her a $5,000 raise each year that she was at the top of her pay scale. And the only way he could give additional pay raises to her was if council modified the pay scale to raise the top and allow for more raises. But given the environmental scan, we concluded it wasn't appropriate to do so. In response to that, the mayor's secretary did work to form a union because she wanted to have a way to negotiate for a raise, I think, for herself. And I think that's where a lot of this had the genesis. What was concerning to us as a council is that if you look at the Ohio Revised Code on public employees, people who work directly for the executive of a government subdivision, like the mayor's secretary working for the executive of our city, the mayor, aren't eligible to be in a union. And there's obvious reasons for that. It's a position that works so closely with an elected official that if the mayor were to change, the new mayor would want to have the ability to hire a secretary that would work closely and well with them. Every person works differently. Every mayor typically hires their own secretary, but if the person is unionized with tenure and bumping rights, you may never be able to terminate that person, which is why the code doesn't allow for it. Unfortunately, our law director didn't advise council that there was a 15-day period where we could make objections to people who are illegally in the union, and as a result, the union was certified with her position and several others that we're concerned weren't appropriately added to the union. And so a lot of the debate that you're seeing really comes around from the mayor's secretary asking for raises after an environmental study showed that it wasn't prudent.
Madam President.
Madam.
Councilman Hill. I have a differing opinion of that because in speaking with several of the clerks and people involved in this union, my understanding from them was it was not so much about money as it was about their concern of their keeping their jobs. There had been several comments made by individuals on the Personnel Relations Committee that made them concerned for their jobs. They were worried. Here they had been very happy working and had done a great job for our city for a long time, and they just felt, for whatever reasons, from things that were said, from things that were done, that their jobs were at risk, and they love working for the city. They were worried about that, and that is my understanding directly from them as to why they felt the need to form a union.
Councilman Fiebig.
To Councilman Hallam's point, which I understand what you're saying there, however, you know, certain jobs sometimes within an administration, as a city grows, as it develops, they do need to change. And perhaps they do need to be reapportioned to be different things, perhaps eliminated, perhaps added to. 10 years ago, we didn't have community center monitors. There's maybe a dozen people there that jobs didn't exist 10 years ago. 10 years from now, there might not be a need for that as well. Or maybe we're going to need 20 or 30. So unionizing doesn't give the city the flexibility that it needs to administer itself properly. And also to follow up on the comment of Councilman Plechnik's, council's working very hard to try to fix certain things. I mean, that's our job. Legislatively, what can we fix? So what we did is to make sure that this doesn't happen again is that we eliminated pay ranges that the mayor could work within. And I mean, it's always historically been the mayor would come to council and say, I plan to give a 1%, 2% raise to everybody, but he didn't this last time, and he just gave 3% raises across the board without advising council. And that's our purview. We set budgets, and that's what we should be doing as we're working for you. We need to be able to do that. So we eliminated pay ranges. We had a ton of legislation, probably, 27 pieces of legislation, setting an exact amount for each one of the positions there. So going forward, that won't happen again. We're working to fix these things going forward, and we're trying to work collectively. We're trying to work together with the administration to make sure that we're doing the best that we can.
One thing that I'll add to my colleagues is that the years that I've been on council, and I'm from a different type of profession where raises are determined, and they're determined on performance evaluations. In the 16 years I've been on council,
raises for non-union individuals have never been reviewed in terms of a performance evaluation and where their raise should be. It's a little different world. So,
Madam President, I just want to follow up on one thing Mr. Fiebig said. While I don't necessarily disagree or agree with the whole concept of whether a union is right for that or not, I was just simply answering the question as to why they felt the need to form a union.
Anyone else? And the only statement that I will make for Mr. McKenna is that your allegations are untrue, sir. All right, moving forward. Public portion. Any unfinished business for council this evening?
That's not even on the. Is that on?
Yeah, 7:47.
I don't have that on. Oh, there it is. Okay.
No, and unfinished business. The next is new business.
Madam President.
Councilman Hallam.
Motion to confirm the mayor's appointment of Michael P. Germano to serve as the law director for the city of Willoughby Hills.
I do not hear.
I'll second that.
Okay. I have a motion from Councilman Hallam and a second from Councilman Fiebig to confirm the mayor's appointment of Michael P. Germano to serve as the law director of the city of Willoughby Hills. Any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, I have heard absolutely nothing about why Mr. Germano would be the top pick for this job, and I would like to at least hear from the mayor before I could consider confirming Mr. Germano for the position.
I recall that the mayor said that there were 10 candidates, and that he would give us information on three of them. We've received no information on any candidates other than he asking us to confirm this one. And we have a law in place by council that we require that Civil Service Commission provides us with a report that was provided for the recreation coordinator. That report has not been provided for this position.
That ordinance is not yet in effect. There's a provision in the charter that allows council to request that information. So it's not mandatory at this time. However, you have the authority to request the information from the Civil Service Commission.
Okay, thank you.
Madam President. Just following on that point, even without that ordinance in place, the charter does provide that the Civil Service Commission is responsible for doing those background checks and investigations. So even though there's not currently a requirement that it submits it to council before the vote, there is a requirement that that work be done. And I would hope that, irrespective of the ordinance being in place, they would forward those materials to us, but we've yet to receive them.
Well, then maybe what we need to do through the clerk's office is put a request in from council, since that ordinance is not in effect yet for that report. But we have not received information about this candidate.
Madam President, I'm willing to withdraw my second if it's in the best interest to wait for more information. However, I'm willing to...
You could table it. That would be another option if you didn't want to decide this evening. It would be a motion to table.
So moved.
Second.
So I have a motion from Councilman Hallam and a second from Councilman Fiebig to table the motion at this time. Vicki?
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pishmo.
Yes.
Leshnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The motion to confirm the appointment of Michael Germano to serve as the law director of the City of Bills is tabled at this time, and we'll come back around. Okay, we're nearly done. The next is for the good of the order and the good of the community. I see Mr. Phoebe has something over there.
For the good of the community, Madam President, there's a blood drive in Willoughby Hills that you have to go to on Thursday, November 9th. It's from 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock, right across the street. So please give blood. Next Thursday, November 9th, middle of the afternoon. Come and donate, and there will be a $25 gift card raffle, courtesy of Lake Health. Be there.
One of the suggestions that's come through from one of the residents, because our meetings have been long and there's a lot of information that's needs to be shared to the community, especially if they're not here or if they're not listening to us on the channel station. The audio is the official minutes of the meeting, and then the clerk transcribes the minutes verbatim. And so sometimes we have 10 pages, sometimes we have 53 pages. And sometimes when individuals get those, things such as these activities are already over or expired. So I think one of the a good way to handle this would be to take these types of important community events and have them put on our website as well. That way it's another venue for people to look for to see what other activities may be going on, not only in our city, but also in our county as well. So you can get together with Sharon or Vicki and see if we can get that on our city website.
Madam President, I agree. And perhaps even we have that little calendar that's at the bottom of our front web page where
yes.
you can click on the date. It tells you everything that's going
yes.
on that date. That might be
a link to it or something.
A good place.
Yep,
right.
Great. That's a good thing. Good.
Also, Madam President, one
yes.
other thing. I just want to go on record condemning the anonymous letter that did go out recently attacking a long-term public service in Gloria Majeski, implying a veteran and firefighter is a white supremacist Nazi.
Chris, this is Chris, you're out of Chris, you are out of order. I have asked this evening that this is not an opportunity.
Out of order.
You're out of order. I've asked this evening. This is not the venue for campaigning and political.
I'm not campaigning. I'm condemming something that I don't believe in and I think it was wrong.
It's a political issue, and that needs to be done outside of the community.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig, a second from Councilwoman Pismo to adjourn. There's no discussion on adjournment. Please call the roll.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Lesnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Meeting's adjourned at 8:01. Thank you, everybody.